This is the second film of the three-part Exorcism series. This is one of my favorites, 2005's The Exorcism of Emily Rose. I am Eric Lewis, and this is Horror Spoop. How's it going, everybody? As always, I am Eric Lewis, and this is Horror Spoop. We are moving along to the second film in the Exorcism series. This film is one of my favorite Exorcism movies, and I'm very excited to get into this. Sorry, I put all those together. The Exorcism of Emily Rose came out September 9th, 2005, and the people liked it, more or less. The budget for this thing was $19 million, and in the opening weekend, it made that back and a crap load more. A huge $30,054,300. The overall takeaway was a good amount more than that. $145,166,800. So it seems like people who saw it opening weekend told all their friends to go see it. Were you one of those people in 2005 that went to go see this film? The box office takeaway is a crap load of money, and at Horror Spoop, we are happy for their success. The film is directed by Scott Derrickson, who also sat in the director's chair for releases like Hellraiser Inferno from 2000, one of my favorite films from 2012, Sinister, and lastly, his latest directing job was also with Ethan Hawke again, The Black Phone from 2021, so go and please check out all of those things. The writing for this film is Paul Harris Boardman, as well as the director of this film, as we said before, Scott Derrickson. Paul Boardman can be found as writer on one episode of the Netflix limited series Archive 81 from 2022, which I was very impressed by, but so go check that out. He also wrote for Deliver Us from Evil from 2014, and lastly, Urban Legends Final Cut from 2000. The summary for this movie comes from, well, me, Horror Spoop. All right, so here we... A young, career-minded lawyer takes on a case for a priest who is on trial for negligent homicide. He is charged with the death of a 19-year-old girl who died due to a botched exorcism. The courtroom is dealt with a hard decision. Do they pick the reality of this world, or do they believe something more spiritual was at play? I believe I did a pretty good job with that summary, but this is a reminder to send in your summary to the Horror Spoop group because I might pick it for the next episode. But anyway, let's move on right through to our cast. We start with Emily Rose herself. She is played by Jennifer Carpenter. You can also find her as Dexter's sister in the Showtime show Dexter. That was on from 2006 to 2013. The movie Quarantine from 2008, and also Dragged Across Concrete from 2018. That has Vince Vaughn in it. Small fun little tidbit, I actually met her at a Target in Louisville, Kentucky in like 2012 or 13 when I was in college, and it was pretty freaking cool. Next, we have Father Moore, who is the priest on trial. He is played by Tom Wilkinson. You can find him in stuff like The Grand Budapest Hotel from 2014, Michael Clayton from 2007, and lastly, The Ghost Rider from 2010. He also has a lot more of a catalog than that, so go check it. The lawyer that is defending Father Moore is Erin Brunner, and she is played by Laura Linney. You can find her in every episode of the Netflix show Ozark, which was on from 2017 to 2022. Nocturnal Animals from 2016. And lastly, she is in a biographical series released by HBO about John Adams by the name John Adams. That was released in 2008. So go check that. I actually really want to. Next, we have Ethan Thomas, who is played by Campbell Scott, and he is the lawyer who is trying to put the father Moore behind bars. He can also be found on The Amazing Spider-Man from 2014. He's the voice in the Stephen King audiobook for The Shining, which is pretty awesome. And lastly, a film called Spring Forward from 1999. Carl Gunderson is head of the law firm that Aaron Brunner works for. He is played by Colm Feore, and I only bring him up because he is in a miniseries of a Stephen King story that I absolutely love. He is the devil, or he has the name Andre Lanoge, from Storm of the Century from 1999. You can also find him on Chicago from 2002, as well as Thor from 2011. And lastly, we have Jason, who is Emily Rose's friend from college. He is played by Joshua Close. Joshua can be found on The Privileged from 2013. Six episodes of the series of Fargo, which was on from 2014 to 2023. And lastly, a film called The Master from 2012. That is it for the cast. Now let's get into what I think. This is a very unique story for a film. A priest on trial for killing a girl during an exorcism is not a story that we've really heard before, even though it was based on true events. If you want to do more research on those true events, the girl's name is Annalise Michelle, and you can get the details just by Googling her name. The acting, score, and the way this is shot was all really well done. The only scene I don't really enjoy is the scene that's a little closer to the end, and it has to do with the Virgin Mary, and I really just wish they would, like, left a good amount of part of that out. If you know, you know. Every scene with Emily Rose in her dorm room is actually a really cool and scary scene. The church scene is also a really cool scene to see. The exorcism scene is really well done, with a lot of wind, different languages used, and a bunch of animals losing their freaking minds. I really believe that Emily Rose is possessed during the exorcism scenes. As well, as a dude who has a theological education as myself, I did have classes that have to do with possessions. And with that, I really enjoyed this film because it was a different view of the spirituality of possession. And I really enjoyed it. The rest of this movie, of course, you have to go watch for yourself. Horror Spoof rates this 7 out of 10. So go and check. Get out. Do you agree with the rating? Let me know at the Horror Spoof group. After that, let's get into some locations that they filmed this film at, shall we? And we are back, and we have some filming locations in California and locations in British Columbia. Emily's dorm room scenes were filmed in Biola University, 13800 Biola Avenue, La Mirada, California. So go and check that. For the rest of the scenes on the campus of Emily Rose's college, we go to Vancouver, British Columbia. McMillan Building, University of British Columbia, Robson Square Campus, 800 Robson Street, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. So to my friends in Cali and my Canadian friends, go and find these places. That is all for the filming locations that I can find, really. So next up, we have a little bit of trivia for you. First up, Jennifer Carpenter's audition was so convincing and scary that the director decided to cast her right then. And when you watch the film, you will know why they did that, honestly. There were two dolls constructed for this film. The first was where Emily Rose would lock her limbs. The other was during the dorm scene where she is on the floor in a twisted position. The director ultimately never used the doll in the dorm room scene because he found out that Jennifer Carpenter is incredibly flexible, and decided that the positions she was able to contort herself into were more unsettling than the one that they accomplished with the dummy. When Emily starts to bend over backwards in the church, Carpenter wore a harness to make the effect more inhuman. I swear to God, she gets more and more impressive with every new thing that I hear about her. Do you agree? Emily's bedroom and the scratches on the wall were based directly on a painting by Francis Bacon. That is awesome, but I can't really find the painting. So if you know the painting, you know where to send it. Facebook, Instagram, horrorspoop@gmail.com, in case you didn't know, okay? Jeez. Scott Derrickson wanted this movie to make people ask questions, not think they got the answer. And I actually like that idea. We are so sure of what we believe sometimes, but to me, the best belief is to leave room for disbelief, because that leaves room for learning. And when you are so deep in what you believe, you are more closed to learning. And that's really something I believe. Moving on. The cinematographer hung a camera on a rope to get more odd angles. They called it the string cam. That is awesome, and I loved the way that this film was shot, but I already think I said that. I think. I know I did. Since this film's release, a persistent urban legend has sprung up amongst students at the University of Minnesota. According to the legend, Pioneer Hall, an alleged haunted dormitory, was where Emily Rose was first possessed, as seen in the film. However, as Emily Rose is a fictional version of Annalise Michel, a German woman who never attended U of M, this legend is obviously false. And another reason that this is obviously false is because we now know where the scene was shot. That dorm building might still be haunted, just not by a demon that possessed Emily Rose. Dustin Milligan has described his audition for the role of Jason as the worst of his career. Milligan got so caught up in the scene that he knocked a hole in the wall with his elbow. He kept going, attempting to mask the hole by lingering in front of it, but the casting agents noticed immediately, and he was forced to pay repairs. If you don't know who Dustin Milligan is, he played Ted Mullins, who is Alexis's boyfriend in one of my favorite newer comedies called Schitt's Creek. And lastly, the bar was actually on the first floor in the first of the movie. The crew painted a city skyline to look like it was up off the ground more. And honestly, that is a pretty damn good painting. So, dude, that's awesome, crew. That really is, because it looks really, really good. Now that's it for our trivia, so let's get right into some taglines. We have two taglines, but it really only feels like one. The first is, based on a true story, which I don't know why that's really a tagline, but whatever. The second is simple and better than the first. It's simply, what happened to Emily? And I really, really enjoy that one. Let me know which one is better, or let me know a tagline that you would make for this film. I have two questions, and then we are good to go. First question is, do you agree with my rating of 7 out of 10? Let me know what you think on the Horror Spoop group. And the second question is, do you believe in the spiritual world like this? I personally walked away with a theological education, but all that did was really convince me that religion only exists because otherwise a lot of people would do more evil than good. If you need religion to make good decisions, then you probably need to work on yourself instead of leaving it up to God. But let me know what you think. That will also be on the Horror Spoop group. The end of the questions is the end of the episode. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I definitely hope you're excited for the Exorcist episode that's coming up after this. Make sure to go answer those questions on the Horror Spoop group, and I will, of course, catch you later. I am Eric Lewis, and this is Horror Spoop. See ya. Thank you so much for listening to Horror Spoop. Make sure to go follow this podcast, rate this podcast, and tell your friends about this podcast. As well, you can go to Horror Spoop on Facebook, Instagram, or you can also email me with any questions at horrorspoop@gmail.com. So please, I hope to see you again.